You're listening to Waveform, a show about music, discovery, and the technology that ties it all together in new and powerful ways. This program is brought to you by Wavelake, the easiest way to distribute and stream music using Bitcoin. Listen today at wavelake.com.
How do we start this?
How do we start this is always a really great way to start a podcast. Hi, everybody. How do we start this? Welcome to Wavelake episode 16, I think. That's what
Waveform.
Listen, man. Yeah. What's the name of the show again? Okay, yes. Waveform. Thank you. Great start. How are you?
I'm good.
Cool.
How are you, Sam?
Good. We just had Daniel from PubKey. We just talked to him, and now we're recording an intro, and we experienced some technical issues, which were always fun. And so I feel a little out of sorts, I guess, from that situation. But Daniel recovered. He did great. And it's a good episode, and we play a couple cool songs. We get some info on what they got going on over there at PubKey and stuff. So yeah, be sure to listen. But we wanted to talk about something real quick before we get to Daniel. We just rolled out promotions, artist promotions. What are those?
Yeah. So we've had a sort of trial version of this running for a few weeks now. You may have seen it in the mobile app. It used to be called Top Up, and then no one knew what that meant.
Thanks for the feedback.
Yeah. And so now it's just Listen to Earn. Hopefully that's self-explanatory. And so now we have enabled artists with the ability to buy these promos themselves. So you pay 10,000 sats, you pick a song that you want listeners to be able to earn 10, 20, 30 sats from, depending on how long the song is. And then, once you pay that invoice, then that song will appear on the Wavelake mobile app under the Listen to Earn section. And people will listen to your song and earn a little bit for the time they're spending with you. And then, hopefully you get a few new fans or listeners out of it.
So this is still very much in beta. It's limited. It's only each campaign can only be 10,000 sats max. We're limiting it to 10 sats per minute, but we are, before people get mad, we are intending to add more options.
Why would people get mad?
Nobody would ever get mad. No one ever criticizes anything we do. You'll be able to control that down the road, but we just want to make sure it works. We want to make sure, obviously when you're giving away money, that can people find ways to mess with that. So we're starting really small so that, if somebody does figure out some way to scam something, it's not like a huge loss. But I ran three campaigns this morning, I was really smooth, and I sent it to a couple people. Also early reports are coming back that it looks good and it's working nice and it's easy to do. I said to you, no offense, but I felt like it was one of the smoothest experiences as far as a new feature goes. I had very little to say. I was like, this actually was super easy and intuitive. It's great.
It actually worked.
Yeah. Kind of nailed it on this one.
Problems.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So good job to you, Josh, for working hard on that the last couple weeks. And if you have music uploaded to Wavelake, you should try it out and help us test the waters with this thing. I think it's cool though. Yeah. It'll be a good way, for those people who like to self promote. Maybe this will take some of the self-promoting off of the top 40 and move it into a more appropriate place like this. And you could, it's actually better for the kind of the whole ecosystem, because you can also just give sats to people, which they'll hopefully in turn give back to you. And it's a really good, the main reason we've said this before, but the main reason we're doing this is for onboarding purposes. It makes it really, really super simple. If you download Wavelake and you can just listen to a song and kind of get started without having to go somewhere else and download a wallet somewhere and buy Bitcoin or something. So you get to interact with this in an easy way. So give it a shot. Try it out. I want to see some more songs on that list.
And you know, like most of the things we build, we usually test it out on ourselves first. And so Sam and I both have had a couple of our tracks in the test version of this promo thing running for, I don't know, like a few weeks now. And I think like the results are still really preliminary, but I've definitely seen like a slight uptick in the number of people interacting with my music after putting that promo up. Like, not just that people are listening to, or I'm seeing downloads of that particular song that I promoted go up, but I'm also seeing like other songs that I've put out get more listens and a few zaps here and there. Again, really, these are really early like anecdotal results, but the hope here is that that other artists have this kind of experience, that they're actually, you know, introducing new listeners to their music, and then some percentage of those listeners actually become, you know, long-time listeners in
Yeah,
the long run.
it's a great discovery list. I mean, if the top 40 is considered a good, you know, it's like 40 songs there, it's really, you get some good visibility. Right now there's four in the listen earn section. So, you know, it's good for visibility if you have a good song and you promote it. Odds are someone's probably going to add it to their library or playlist or share it or zap it or something. So, yeah, give it a shot. We're just trying stuff out over here, but yeah, and then I mean
And
we're talking
actually,
about
I,
oh, sorry. Go ahead.
yeah, well, I was just gonna say, like, we're working on improving the stats
Yeah.
dashboard for
Yeah.
artists and podcasters. Is that what you're gonna talk
That's
about in
exactly
the
what I was going to
section?
talk about. Yeah.
So once our new dashboard, our stats dashboard, is up and running, I think it'll give people a much clearer idea of the kinds of engagement that are happening with their music. And then, like, if you are running a promo, it should be at least slightly more clear, like, what the impact of that promo was on the music you've released. So that is kind of the next thing on the list, is just better analytics for artists and podcasters.
Yeah, that's gonna be cool. And we're using what's it called? OP3.
OP3.
Yeah,
Yeah,
OP3 is
OP3. It's
super,
like a
super cool open source.
public podcast stats aggregator. We're in pretty good company, so a lot of big podcast hosting companies use it too.
Yeah,
And
lots of
that's like
great
a
data
whole
there.
other conversation. Yeah, just like the goal of the one of the goals of the project OP3 is to create just better transparency about download stats, because download stats are so relevant to like advertising revenue, and you know, advertisers want to know like who's listening to your podcast, where they are, how many downloads you're actually getting, and OP3 is trying to make that more transparent, so that and standardized, so that like you know, advertisers have a clearer sense of what they're buying when they put an ad on a podcast.
Yeah, it's cool.
But yeah,
Yeah,
I think that applies to us too.
yeah, and I think we're planning on, correct me if I'm wrong, but also adding some mixing in with some OP3 stuff, adding in some fan metrics too, possibly shortly thereafter. Like,
We should
kind of
have better
some super
numbers
fan
overall.
visibility, which will be helpful for other things that we're working on in the future. So that's cool. I was checking out my OP3 stats. You sent me that link that I could sort of manually look at. If you take this block here and drop it here, then you can look at your stats in a very manual way. But I was kind of surprised to see that my major sort of hilarious, I don't know if it's hilarious, it's kind of hilarious to me for some reason, but in the traditional music streaming, one of my biggest regions is the Netherlands. And there is a reason for that, but it was interesting to see on Wavelake that was also in my like top three regions. So
Oh,
it's like
that's
people were
interesting.
sort of discovering it somehow, maybe just through, I guess our SEO is getting better. I don't know. But I thought that was cool that my existing fan base in the traditional space was actually finding me on Wavelake somehow. So that's cool. It was cool to see that.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's just you, like if it's Dutch people are attracted to your music in some way, or if that's like Dutch people are into Wavelake in general. We'll have to.
Yeah, I wonder if it is purely a coincidence. Maybe, yeah, maybe it's. Let me pull it up. Oh yeah, I guess it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now it's 5. I felt like it was like 3 or 4, but right now it's currently sitting at number 5 in my top countries. 7% of my listeners are coming from are Dutch Bros. We have a horrible coffee company here called Dutch Bros. I don't know why I just referenced that. Shout out to our sponsor, our new sponsor, Dutch Bros. Yeah, but this is really
cool. Do you want to do mail quick?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Let's do this mailbag. Let's pop open this theme music.
I think the last few episodes, I don't know if we got comments on the last episodes.
We got a ton of comments.
We talked about mail.
We got a ton on the last one, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to just read a few.
Okay.
I'm just going to read a few.
Okay.
We got to play the thing though. The bumper.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the bumper.
Messages.
You've got those boost.
I've heard of audience participation shows, but this is ridiculous.
All right. Okay, so we're on episode 16 now, right?
Yeah.
So here are a few from the last episode. This was from Fountain. I thoroughly love this podcast, and I'm getting more into Noster because of you guys and Fountain. When it comes to AI music, I've enjoyed making instrumental jazz swing on Suno. AI vocals suck. I might publish what was made, but have never seen myself as a musician. For the app, would you ever consider having a radio station for each genre? I think that will help with discovering artists in an easy way. That's from Cole McCormick.
Yeah. Genre radio, probably at some point in time. We definitely have some cool ideas for... I mean, I don't know how long this will take, but I think at some point in time next year, we're hoping to do some sort of live radio broadcasting feature. It'd be really cool to do something like that. And in which case,
curated radio.
Yeah. Like you can just go live with a playlist, you know, maybe, and be able to talk or be a DJ. I don't know. That'd be a fun experiment. We'll see if that actually happens. But, that was a nice comment. We had another one about AI, LOL. As an AI creator, I put a lot of time into writing songs and auditioning hundreds of different AI bands to get close to the sound I want. And there's a lot more than just that. Yeah, I mean, I guess that was a little bit of a spicy topic. I don't think we mean to, you know, downplay the effort in which you go through to prompt. I mean, I guess it's impressive in some level. Certainly it's impressive on some level to be able to create something like that through prompts. I don't think that was necessarily what we were talking about in the last episode. It was more so that it does seem to be easier in some ways to do that, I guess. Takes less resources. I don't know. I've never done it myself. So I guess I can't speak for how easy or not easy it is. But
yeah, I mean,
there does seem to be a lot of AI music showing up on our top 40, you know, and I think so that's probably where a lot of that, and it's not just us that have commented on this. I mean, it's very present, you know, it's a very real thing. So I would be curious to see like some of these AI people making AI music drop instead of, you know, boosting it on the chart, put it in promos and see how people react to it in that context.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things going on. One, I think the state of AI music today, like in the long run, it's going to be a tool that probably everyone uses to some form. Like in the same way, like beat packs are common, like with every producer today.
Right.
Like that was something no one, like that didn't exist 20 years ago. But now, like beat packs, vocal packs, like all these things, you know, are just part of the tool set or part of the toolbox of any music producer. So I think AI will be the exact same thing in the next decade. Like it will become the same thing. just another tool in a producer's toolkit.
Sure.
I think that said, the state of AI music today is a really, I would say, it creates just derivative music for the most part. And I don't think, and I'm speaking in a very broad, like generalization right now. So I understand there are exceptions, but for the most part, all the AI generated music that I've heard, feels very generic and not original. And I'm, you know, I, again, I'm sure there are exceptions. And I think my criticism of it right now is that I think because it's so simple, because the tool is so new, I think it's generating a lot of things that sort of sound the same, sound like versions of things that already exist, and like not great versions of those things. So like the quality is not great. There's like weird sounding artifacts in the music. And then like, I think sort of compiling onto that is that like, people are churning this stuff out like nonstop. Like there's just so much of it going out in the world so quickly, that my feeling on it right now is that like, I feel like there's too much of it. It is spammy. I don't think it's adding much value to like the musical conversation in the current state. Again, like, you might, if you spend a lot of time using AI tools and you're like trying to figure out how to make great music using it, by all means, like, I think you should keep doing that if that's what interests you and you think you can make great music using it. I think like the tools still need to improve a bit for me to get interested in it.
Yeah. And I think
that's kind of just where I stand.
And I think it's primary use case right now, at least from what I've seen on Wavelake, is it's like meme music, you know. So it's not, it just is, it's a genre in itself of just, or I guess it's kind of turning into that. I haven't heard a lot of super serious music on uploaded. Most of it seems to be of the comedic nature, you know. So and that's fine, and there's a, it's not like, yeah, I don't think either of us are trying to discourage the idea. You know, I think that it's just where it fits in with, I guess, trying not to dance around it, but it's like sometimes a lot of this music can just bury music that is created by real people, you know, that are actually playing real music and singing these tracks and putting emotion into it. It's not, again, not to discredit the typing that you do to make something sound like something, but our concern is just, we don't want to lose sight of artists. It's like, it's hard enough out there. That's the whole reason we're doing this. It's really hard for people to make art, and we want to make sure that it's heard and there's a place for that. And if you're able to just generate and replicate on a computer in a way, that's maybe a little bit more rapid than most people can turn out other music, then we just don't want that to get buried. Or we don't want that to become, you know, spammy. So
yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, we've talked about it.
The thing is, if it's good and people, you know, are sending you money for it, like, great. Like,
sure.
That's, you know, that is kind of how the market should work. So I have no problem with that. But I think the other thing that we were sort of that seem to be happening in tandem is like the AI generated music and people self boosting that AI generated music. So it ends up like swamping the chart. And again, we don't know for sure if that's what's happening, but it seems like that's what's happening. And I think the combination of those things are what I'm not personally a fan of, like the combination of like rapid creation of AI generated music and then like boosting that into the chart, so then you have all these AI generated songs,
right,
that have been just like,
right,
put together really quickly and then put in front of people using like basically gaming the system. That's what I don't like seeing.
So drop those in the promotions section. That's a better place for that. Anyway, Okay, enough about AI music.
Don't listen to
us. Or just do whatever you want. You can truly do whatever you want. I mean, whatever, man. Do whatever you got to do. But the promotion section would be much more useful for that. If you are, self-boosting for exposure, I get it. I guess that makes sense. But, you know, like I said, maybe this is a better place for that now. Okay, moving on. Is that any? We had some other comments.
A few other comments. Like,
I like all versions of the show.
Yes.
That's cool. Love hearing
that's a good one.
Kavinia, love the jams.
Martin Grooms wrote in, I have so many thoughts and feelings about this episode and wish I could have been in on the convo. Thanks for playing Honey too. That was nice. Awesome. No problem, Martin. Waveform, listen to earn area idea from Tone Wrecker. Call it the waiting room or entry area. You're hearing the promoted music so you can earn and check out new music or bands or artists, virtual flyers, and other cool stuff.
I like what he was thinking there. He talked a little bit about this on Telegram group too, and that got my wheels spinning a little bit, like other cool things we could do around that experience. Yeah. Maybe some stuff that's a bit far out, but really great ideas there from the Tone Wrecker.
Yeah. I just saw the message and I lost it, but someone was like, top up works fine. People will figure out what it means over time.
Yeah. Well,
top up is cool. The name doesn't matter that much. Over time, everyone will know what it means.
Yeah. That's what I always say what I always say about band names. It's like, just name your band, whatever. Cause at some point in time, you just become that band and no one cares. That's how we have the Goo Goo Dolls and the Foo Fighters.
Yeah. And the Who.
And the Who. And yeah, oh, cool. Well, should we get on with it and play our call with Daniel?
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh my God, we have a guest. It's been so long, but I told Daniel we were just getting sick of talking to each other, and we really needed somebody else to join in. So, very last second, we invited Daniel from the Daniel. From PubKey, but not everybody knows what that is. So why don't you tell us kind of briefly what PubKey is and how you got there, and then we can kind of jump into some of the cool community stuff that you do. Especially, I mean, you were telling me, you know, you've done some music things there, and obviously this is a, you know, Wavelake is a music platform, and we've done some stuff there, and we've communicated about possibly trying to get even some more stuff going on there. So let's hear a little bit about how you got hooked up with PubKey, what PubKey is, and what kinds of cool community things you have going on there, especially the music stuff. I'd really like to hear more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those who haven't been here yet or maybe just heard about it, PubKey is a dive bar in the West Village of Manhattan. People like to call it the Bitcoin bar or a Bitcoin-themed bar, and that's really not accurate. It's a bar that is started by Bitcoiners, and it has a community that's focused around Bitcoin, but it has a lot more going for it than just that. It's a legendary spot in the West Village. It's been here in this building for over 100 years. There have been many bars that have existed in this location. And you can go back. I found a picture on some old archive where you can see clearly the building in like the early 1900s. And
that's cool.
Back then it had the appearance of being an underground bar. It lived through the Prohibition era. It lived through multiple world wars, the civil rights movement, all these social movements and cultural movements that took place in New York City over the, many decades. And you can go back to any of those times in history and find revolution. You can find these, people, these revolutionary people that would congregate in taverns and bars, whether it's around, culture or whether it's around politics or whether it's around music. Like, we're just a short walk over from where CBGB used to be and where a lot of the music clubs that I used to go to when I was, coming up when I was just living in New York in the 90s, like Coney Island High, which, doesn't exist anymore, and Bowery Ballroom, which still does. But like all these places where I used to go see shows you know, some exist now, some don't, but there were, you know, there's this cultural through line that, you know, the location where we are now, that exists as PubKey has been there during that whole time.
That's cool.
Prior to 2020, so when COVID started, there was a bar here. It was called Formerly Crows, and it was, you know, another, you know, beloved local dive bar. It had a big pool table in the back. It was, you know, set relatively the same layout that we have now, but just, you know, a different different crowd, different decor. But that all ended during the COVID lockdowns. People left New York. Restaurants and bars closed, never reopened again. This happened throughout the city. It happened in every neighborhood. The people who were hit the hardest were the working class, were the people who had you know, hourly jobs, or who had businesses that they ran. Local small mom and pop businesses were hit the hardest, and you know, the Bitcoin community was also hollowed out during that time. People left New York and never came back. It's the reason we have Bitcoin Park in Nashville. You know, that was started by people who used to live in New York who went to Nashville to try to start something new. And you had people go to Austin and Miami and all over the country. And so the idea, what became PubKey, was really an outgrowth of, you know, we want to bring the Bitcoin community back to New York, not just the tech side, but the cultural side. You know, BitDevs does an amazing job at bringing in people who understand the development side of Bitcoin, the industry side. But the community aspect really needs to be catered to as well, because without that, who are the users? And, you know, creating a space where people can go and meet other people who maybe they've never connected with in person before, but only online, and have these conversations that they can't have at home, they can't have with their friends, is really something unique and special. I've had people walk, you know, tell me they've walked by PubKey multiple times and never walked in because they were intimidated. They're like, maybe I'm not enough of a Bitcoiner to come here. And they finally walk in one day and they're like, oh, I get it now. Like, this is just a bar, but it's a bar where I can talk about Bitcoin with people. And, you know, that's something really, this doesn't exist in most places. And so, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, in my experience there, it is just a bar too. I mean, it's the cool, I mean, I stumbled into a comedy show in the back, I don't know, the summer, some point in time. I know you guys do a lot of cool things like that. And it was just fun to, be there and see something totally out of context from, you know, like the last time I had been there, I think I was on a panel, like a Noster panel or something.
And you were there for Nosterville.
Yeah. And then the next time I was there, I was watching a comedy show. So it was just, you know, it's a cool.
And that's kind of what makes it really interesting, is there's something for everyone here. You know, we got a lot of, you know, local, you know, residents, people who just live in the neighborhood who come here just because it's the bar that's always been here. It's their bar on their block. Someone showed up one day when I was here. She doesn't live in New York anymore and had come back with her fiance and just wanted to show him where she used to go drinking when she lived in New York. And so, and she's like, I don't understand any of the Bitcoin stuff, but the decor is really cool. And so what I think is, you know, the goal here is that we're at a point now in the history of Bitcoin where everyone at least is aware of its existence. If they haven't used it yet, or if they haven't come around to understanding what its purpose is, like, that's a whole other conversation. But everyone knows that Bitcoin is a thing that exists. It's a thing that people talk about. The, you know, from the politics side to the banks to, you know, retail to their friends, like, everyone at least knows that Bitcoin exists, and whether they like it or not, it's here. It's not going away. It's going to exist for the rest of our lives. And so why not, for those who use it, who want to use it and see the future, the world that can be created with a really truly fair money, why not find a way to integrate that into society in a less threatening way? And so what better way to do that than to have a bar where we just sort of normalize the experience of using Bitcoin or talking about it. And while you're here, you can learn about people who use it in really interesting and in different ways than what you might be exposed to in your normal life.
So you mentioned that people who are interested in Bitcoin have walked past the bar and felt intimidated by the fact that it was a quote unquote Bitcoin bar. So getting to that point where it's less, I guess, why do you think that is? Like, what is it about Bitcoin that even people who are interested in it would think like, oh, well, I don't know enough about it to be involved in these things. I mean, if that's how people who are aware of it feel, then I can only imagine that intimidation factor would be even higher for someone who knows nothing about it. Where do you think, like, what do you think causes that?
I think you're right. I think some of it is this sort of FOMO feeling, or like maybe a feeling that people have missed the boat. That I think is a reality. It's also the reason that I think people who could look at Bitcoin as something that could help them tend to avoid it and might be more interested in altcoins or other DeFi things, like maybe because they feel like that there's no opportunity left for them. They don't see it. And also maybe it's just a level of intimidation. Like there's all these people that are smarter than me that come here or that, got it before I did, whatever. I understand that. And I think maybe people just think that they don't know enough to be able to have a conversation here. But when they actually do come in for an event, they realize, oh, there's people here that are just like me. You know, I'd say the bulk of people who come to PubKey now aren't Bitcoiners. Some of them are interested in learning about it. Some of them are still, very early in their journey. But, probably 2/3 of the customers who come here don't have much exposure at all. And they're looking for a good vibe. And so they find that here. In fact, I think it may be even more intimidating for people who know about Bitcoin than those who don't to show up.
Yeah. And also, I guess just on the challenges of that, like you mentioned that I was there for Noster Village, and the whole point of that was, maybe to try to have a beginner's, a bunch of panels on how to like get started with it and make things easy. And I remember one of the conversations in the Telegram group prior to it happening is like, how can we show people how to interact with Lightning and Noster? Cause that's one of the coolest things. And in New York in particular, it's very difficult to do that. At Wavelake, we've done our best. It's been our goal since day one to make things super frictionless for people. So you don't really have to be educated in order to use it. And that can be kind of difficult, I would imagine, at a Bitcoin bar in New York City when you have the Bit license and it's not very easy to get a Lightning wallet. So it's like, how do you deal with that? Where it's, you do sort of have this theme. I know that Evan at Zeus built a cool POS for PubKey to pay, you could buy a beer with Lightning. But how about those challenges? I mean, how do those conversations go? What's the frustrations in New York City with just the struggle to kind of like simply onboard people?
These are real issues. I discovered Lightning in 2021 on Clubhouse when I was hanging out in the room. It was called PlebNet, and there were people there who were learning to start their own Lightning nodes. There weren't that many wallets available at the time. I mean, I think there was like maybe Wallet of Satoshi and a few others. There were some like Telegram chat bots that used Lightning, but it wasn't very widespread yet. But I wanted to learn more about it, and so I got involved at that time and learned how to build my own node using a Raspberry Pi and some open source software, and connected with a bunch of people to create this small network of liquidity. And so I had an early exposure to Lightning, and at the time there were still a lot of wallets that worked in New York that over time began to close down because of regulations. And so by the time I started at PubKey, which was just about a year ago in beginning of 2024, sorry, the only wallets that you could really use if you lived in New York, like if you don't live in New York, you can set up a, you know, a Strike account. You can go and get a wallet and use it anywhere. But if you live in New York, you get excluded from the Lightning Network specifically. You have to run your own node. So doing self-custody is, you know, probably the most, it is difficult to do at the beginning, but it's probably the best way to do it if you live here. Now, that being said, that means it's much harder to onboard people. So what I've tried to do is put together a list of wallets that I have tested myself that do work here at the bar. And it's been kind of a work in progress. I've been inviting people who run Lightning products to demonstrate them here. For example, Breeze. We have a great relationship with Breeze now. You can build your own very simple self-custody wallet using either the Breeze wallet itself or the SDK connections with other other wallets. Like, for example, I just for the first time used Yopaki, which is a really fun product out of Mexico I'd never heard of before. And they're using, it's a little controversial, but they're using Liquid. So you don't need a node. You basically just have sats in the Liquid chain that you can spend over Lightning. And it works. It's a little bit of a different customer experience than you get if you're paying directly on the Lightning Network. But it's a way that you can do your own self-custody without having to have any infrastructure. I've had a lot of conversations with the folks at Albi. You can now spin up an Albi node in the cloud or on your own hardware and connect it to a really beautiful mobile wallet that just works. It takes maybe about 15 minutes to set it up and you're good to go. So we use the Lightning meetups here to help people discover the different ways that they can use Lightning. And then yesterday, it was really a pleasure to have D++ come in and do Lightning trivia, where she built this kind of unique way to play trivia over the Lightning Network, where you can use the memo field within an LNURL payment to answer a trivia question. So we were using Coinos, which is it's a mobile web wallet. You don't even need to download an app to use it, where people could send a single Satoshi with a message attached. And that was the way that they would participate in the trivia game. So there's these ways that you can use Bitcoin and Lightning that are not, some of them are quasi-custodial. This was a custodial service, but you can also do the same thing with a self-custody wallet. You can use AlbiGo, you can use Zeus, any wallet that can interact with LNURL can be used here. So, and as far as making a payment at the bar, as long as you can pay a Bolt 11 invoice, you can experience Lightning. We've had some customers ask for, maybe they came from non-Bitcoin wallets. Like, we had someone who was really upset that he couldn't spend Solana at the bar. And so I had a chat with him. And he ended up swapping some of his Solana for Bitcoin and then was still unable to make a payment because his wallet, he was using Phantom, doesn't support Lightning. So then that's kind of what inspired me to create the list of Lightning wallets, because then you can take on-chain Bitcoin, move it to a wallet that supports on-chain deposits, and then pay in Lightning. Yeah, it's a little bit complicated. We're still, I think, very early in this process, but I see the roadmap where we're going to get there. It's not going to be a straight path, but it doesn't involve everyone running their own node. I just don't see that happening. Just understanding how people think.
Yeah. I think that's interesting, like, because all the technology and the tools are there. Like, you're describing all of these totally realistic ways where you could onboard a newcomer to the Lightning Network, and they're able to transact with you or anyone else who's also using Lightning. Like, I think most of the infrastructure pieces are there, and there are enough options where, you know, if you are in some jurisdiction where, you know, the regulatory system doesn't support one option, well, then you have a few other options that enable you to transact over Lightning anyway. I think where I sort of get hung up, and I think where the biggest hurdle lies, is that if I walk into PubKey and I have US dollars in my pocket, either in cash or some credit card form, like, it's, if all I want is a beer, the shortest path to me getting that beer is to pay you in dollars. And the fact that you support dollars, like, makes that the most sense, just from a purely practical perspective. I think, like, when it comes to people using Bitcoin for payments, I think we're still in a stage where it's almost, it's an altruistic act in some ways. It's like a protest vote in some ways, where you're opting to use a more difficult system, or a system that would be more difficult for most people, in the interest of using that network to support it and grow it and kind of, like, you know, be an early adopter. But I think, like, the fact that I could get a beer using dollars, not only at PubKey, but anywhere else, like, if you're like, I don't take dollars, I just take Bitcoin, it's like, great, I'll just go to the bar down the street. And I think, like, the fact that, I don't know, the fact that we're sort of selling these abundant goods and taking Bitcoin for them is great, but there's still so, it's still so much easier for someone to just use the existing financial network. And I, you know, I wonder if, like, if maybe if you were selling things that were more scarce, like that trivia thing that D++ built, sounds awesome. And the only way you can participate in that is if you're using Lightning. Like, I think that's a great example of something where, yeah, you can only get this if you're using Lightning. Or, like, maybe I create some super unique product that you can't get anywhere else. Like, you can't go down the street and get it. No one else makes it. You have to get it from me, and I'm only accepting Bitcoin for it. I think in order for this to, I don't know, in order to accelerate adoption, I think it makes sense for those kinds of transactions to be required. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Daniel.
Well, I think you're right that at the moment, spending Bitcoin is a bit of a novelty. I don't think most people are interested in doing that, and they have their reasons. Some people do it because they don't want to have to record payments for taxes. Some people do it because they just want to HODL, or they don't have a lot of Bitcoin that they're able to spend. Maybe only have it on a cold storage wallet or something like that, or on an exchange. And you can't just spend from an exchange. You need to whitelist an address, and, you know, you can't just pay in on-chain Bitcoin at retail for a lot of reasons. But I think for some people, they just really want that experience of paying in Bitcoin. Like, you know, people will come here and say, I just want to buy that beer and spend SAT because it feels good to do that. It, you know, it makes me feel like I'm living in the future. Some future world where Bitcoin is the money. But, you know, we're a long way from that. Right now, people are still very cautious and wary and are not ready to make that jump yet. You know, there's a lot of discussion about sort of the need to build a parallel economy. How do we get there from here? It's not the easiest path to see when you're in it, when you're in the process of monetizing. But I think maybe, you know, 10 or 15 years down the road, we'll probably have a different perspective. You know, I had no idea where Bitcoin was going to go 10 years ago. You know, people are like, oh, you must be super rich, you got into Bitcoin in 2014. And I'm like, no, I had no money back then. Like, it took me a long time to really be able to understand it to the point where I could actually start acquiring it. And, you know, I was, you know, happened to be there at an early enough time, but a lot of people who got involved in Bitcoin in 2011 and 12 don't have any Bitcoin because they spent it all. You know, Bitcoin was a medium of exchange for a lot of people, even back then. So it really comes down to, you know, how you want to use it yourself, how you see its place in the world. Do you see it only as an investment that you're going to hold forever and not spend, and maybe miss out on the ability to be part of the circular economies that are being built around the world? Or do you want to see Bitcoin circulate? And is that not a way to bring more people in, to show them how easy it can be to use it? These are questions that I think about a lot. And, you know, there's no perfect answer. There's no, like, absolute silver bullet here to how you get Bitcoin adoption to grow around the world. I've been thinking about this for a long time. I used to think that Bitcoin could be a solution to homelessness. I used to think that Bitcoin could be a solution to poverty in sub-Saharan Africa. Like, there are all these ways that you can use Bitcoin, but the question is, like, you have to also have the education part in addition to just the money. You can't just give someone Bitcoin and expect that they're going to know how to use it and that they're going to hold it. Like, I can't tell you how many people I've attempted to give Bitcoin to as a gift that never received it, because they just, you know, either it was sent over a service where it was reclaimed because they never created an account, or they had a paper wallet that they lost, or they had private keys that they never wrote down. There's so many ways to lose Bitcoin. It's actually like a running joke. You know, most of the people that I've probably given a dollar or two of Bitcoin to over the years don't have it anymore. So there's all these sats that just exist out there in eternity that will never be claimed. You can say that's great because it's going to, over time, gradually increase the value of all the Bitcoin that everyone else has. But it also is, you know, it's an opportunity missed to educate someone. And these people could have had that opportunity to hold and use Bitcoin, but they never did because they didn't see the value in it at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's the education part. I mean, we reference this so many times. I do, at least. This Roy, speaking of Breeze again, Roy from Breeze has an article that came out this year. It's like, it's time to stop orange pilling people and just start showing the utility. Yes. And
absolutely.
Yeah, we believe that more than anything, because that's the thing. It's like, people are not, like, we've passed the education phase. We've tried these things out. They do work, but they are still clunky. But that's the problem. It's like, we have to start building the mainstream products now in order to move past that experimental phase and start putting this into the mainstream world. Yeah. To see if people can use it to buy a beer without having to think about it or have a 30-minute education session or be able to zap a song or something. You know, it's like, we can't just keep relying on people having enough time and attention to learn what this is when, you know, after 10 years or so, the three of us have all are still trying to like fundamentally understand how this stuff works or how it could work. So yeah, I think we need to stop putting pressure on people and try to get this, but it's tough, you know, and it's going to take resources and support. And I think that's going to be, an important part of the next few years is people just trying things out in retail settings outside of wallets and infrastructure stuff. And obviously that's what we're trying to do at Wavelake. And on that note, I'd like to play a song. Can I play a song? And we can, you know, if you do know how to, what Bitcoin is, and you know how to zap a song, I hope you do so. Now I'm going to play a song called Gray's Birthday by a new artist that just started uploading a bunch of music. This is a band. Seems like there's a bunch of projects that are springing up from this dude, past and current projects. But this is by a band called Big Awesome. All right, that was Gray's Birthday by Big Awesome. Go check out that music. There's some really good stuff there. And yeah, so where do we go from here? Let's stay on the subject of music. You guys have hosted some music at PubKey. I think there are some whispers of maybe some other things happening like that. What are you hoping to do there as far as embracing this, the culture of music that's now kind of entering into this space? How do you see that? How do you see PubKey, I guess, playing a role in that?
So I've always seen, just where I live in New York, I've always seen, the music business, the independent artists as just such an important component of the life of the city. And it's what, it's one of the reasons why I wanted to live here in the first place, was just to be exposed to all that. And so now we have this venue that it's really a multi-purpose location. You have meetups that take place regularly. It's focused around speakers and ideas and concepts that relate to Bitcoin. But then there's, like you said before, we have comedy nights. We have normal trivia, not just Bitcoin trivia. There are all kinds of events. And then in addition to that, you can bring in bands and play small short concerts. It's not set up at the moment to do a large show. It's not that type of venue. But I think to do something a little bit more intimate, it's the perfect environment for that. I was really inspired by what I saw last year with the Culture Shock. I guess it was earlier this year.
February.
February, yeah. So it feels like almost a year ago with Culture Shock, the show that was put on by the Phoenix Noster crew. And I'd love to bring something like that here. I think the next time we do a Noster Village, it'll be more focused around music. Having seen what Wavelake and Toonster and just the value for value SATS economy that's being built around live entertainment has been able to accomplish in just a short time with the time I've been on Noster. I'd love to find a way to highlight that more. I think part of it is going to be, we need to do some upgrades on the sound system here so that we can really faithfully put on a music show. We've done some small tests and it's been great. I had some friends of mine who play in a band perform. We did something that was kind of fun on the night of the White Paper party. It was October 30th. I brought in a two-person blues act and they performed the introduction to the White Paper verbatim as a blues song. it was amazing.
Nice.
And we've had other bands perform here as well. And now I'm talking to Ainsley Costello, who's really interested in coming to New York in January and doing a show here. So I'd love to put something on for them and then do something a little bit somewhat similar to what Culture Shock was about, but focus more on New York bands here in May when we do the second Noster Village. So looking forward to working with you and Mike and anyone else who's interested in helping pull that together to really explore how we can make a V4V live concert streamed online performed here at PubKey a reality. I think that'd be a lot of fun to put that together. And so that's what I'm thinking about for next year.
Cool. Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. All right. Let's see. Michael, do you have anything else you would like to talk to Daniel about, or should we play one more song? Daniel, do you have any? I mean, I want to put you on the spot. I should have mentioned this before. We do play music. Are there any artists that you are particularly fond of on Wavelake? We could maybe play a song, something that you're into.
Yeah, I would love if you could play something new by Manlike Quex.
You got it.
He was one of the first artists that I interacted with on Wavelake, and just been really inspired by what he's done. And if you haven't heard him yet, he's just extremely talented and just a phenomenal artist from Tanzania. Someone I really have grown to respect.
Yeah, let's play 100 Mil by Manlike Quex. That's his most recent upload. Let's check this out. He just wanna shine.
Many boomers don't understand why millennials or the younger generations are thinking about Bitcoin.
I roll up, no paper, no visa. My rogue money ain't got no Caesar. I'm online just looking for a dealer. Bitcoin only, pizza, pibra. Money makes the world go round, but holding on to fear, my net worth goes down. Had a lot of dollars and I had a lot of pounds, but now they're living better, it's Satoshi's now. I'm straight pleb chain, do it for the pleb chain, do it for the no runners network maintain. No addendum, it's the same, same, 21 million, no runner, gang, gang. I rep TZ to the fullest, 24-7, man, I'm so bullish. All the FUD, we rise above it, surf on the wave like hit another summit. I want my money invincible, stack stats every day. I want my money invincible, stack stats every day. I want my money invincible, stack stats every day. I want my money invincible, stack stats every day. Tryna stack 100 mil, 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 100 mil. I know them crypto bros, man, they're not like us. If it ain't Bitcoin, finna turn to dust. All them Bitcoin daddies, man, they know what's up. KQ already gonna zap it up. It's my treat, no need to go Dutch. Gonna take a no-coiner for a Bitcoin brunch. Stack sats, spend sats, keep them circulating. Proof of work, get the neighborhood elevating. Leveled up, I like the corrupt. They act up, so we finna rise up. Gen Z's and millennials team up. They run up their debt and they wanna put our tax up. I don't think so. I send my money from my Stambit to my Blink, bro. To my Aqua, to my Sparrow. My bank balance is a big fat zero. I want my money invincible. Stack stats every day. I want my money invincible. Stack stats every day. I want my money invincible. Stack stats every day. I want my money invincible. Stack stats every day. Tryna stack 100 mil. Stack stats every day. Tryna stack 100 mil. Stack stats every day. Tryna stack 100 mil. Stack stats every day. Tryna stack 100 mil.
We millennials have lived through multiple financial crises. My family lost everything in 08, 09, and we've seen the complete destruction of the value of these slips of paper that the government just prints out of thin air that we sacrifice our time and energy for.
Orange or purple, took both pills. Need less sass to pay my bills. Need less sass to pay my rent. Need less sass to pay my... Oh my goodness, tank on full. Got my diesel, fiat money's evil. Got me sweating, stressing like, how we gonna eat off this, man? How we gonna live off this, man? I can't survive on this. Inflation got me in a twist, in a bind. Got me working overtime. Took away my family time. Took away my sunshine. Fiat money is a crime.
Bitcoin, anyone?
The devil's in the DLs. And we fed up, got us drowning in debt. And we just trying to keep our head up. Trying to get my kids set up. Trying to get my kids set up. Stats daily. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. One day these stats will get my wife a G-Wagon Mercedes. Orange and purple, took both pills. Orange and purple, took both pills. Trying to stack 100 mil. Trying to stack 100. Need less stats to pay my bills. Bought the dip and got a mil. Bought the dip and got a mil. Bought the dip and got a mil. Orange and purple, took both pills. Orange and purple, took both pills. Trying to stack 100 mil. Trying to stack 100. Need less stats to pay my bills. Bought the dip and got a mil. Bought the dip and got a mil. Bought the dip and got a yo. Orange and purple, took both pills. Orange and purple, took both pills. Trying to stack 100 mil. Trying to stack 100.
And our leaders are in their 70s and 80s, and we've watched them get mega rich while our generation is posting social media videos about how they can't afford rent and groceries. So just to catch up economically has been chaotic for millennials and Gen Z. And Bitcoin is really the bridge from chaos to hope.
All right. That was 100 mil by Man Like Quex. Shout out to Quex. Amazing. Love that dude. Obviously, everybody listening, remember you can zap these songs if you're listening on Wavelake or Fountain or some other podcasting 2.0 enabled application. Cool. Well, Daniel, I really appreciate it. Sorry about the early internet issues. We're no strangers to that here, unfortunately, but I guess that's just the way it goes sometimes. Hopefully everything worked out, and yeah, looking forward to getting back over to New York. I haven't seen you in a bit, so hopefully I'll get to pop into Pupke here soon. And yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Look forward to seeing you again. If not this year, then in the new year for sure. Let's try to do something in January.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
You've been listening to Waveform, brought to you by Wavelake. Wavelake is a platform for artists to share their music beyond paywalls, and where fans can pay whatever they want using Bitcoin. Artists retain all the rights to their work and receive payments instantly via the Lightning Network. Find out more at wavelake.com. Waveform is produced by Sam Means and Michael Ree. Theme by Paul Birkin. I'm D++. Thanks for listening.